Everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 60 for the 14th of November, 2009. I am David McVeigh. I am your head geek and host of this madhouse that I'm sure it's going to degenerate into as we go along with this thing.
You say looking right at me.
And I'm joined in studio today, as usual, by Mr. Josh Philpott. How are you?
I'm tired. I've been here for quite a few hours, and I had forgotten that there was a 6 o'clock in the morning, but now I am very much aware that there is a 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, we will explain a little bit about why you're so tired in just a second, but we're also joined by Dave Kozicki.
Hi, I'm the guy who's not on the title credits. I just thought, you know, I'd open the show by
I was so close
through.
To, like, wrecking your intro entirely, and just, like, when it came in straight after the black, be like, and Dave Kozicki.
He did it last week!
I had to... It took all of my strength to not do that. I am the reason that this podcast carries a explicit tag.
well, you weren't actually the first reason why we carry explicit tag. We carry an explicit tag
I've noticed the explicit tag has changed since I came on board. It used to be like may contain explicit content, and now it's like usually or will contain explicit content. So I bring to the fucking show, just to get that one out the way.
You're not the only fucking person who swears, though. So, all right, so for those who are wondering what we're talking about with video and opening credits and everything else, for those who are new to the Geek Actually podcast, we do go out live every Saturday morning. Now, we are late again this morning, but this morning was because we were encoding video.
Yeah, we have a reason this time. We're not just late.
It's not because I slept in.
It is a bit of a special occasion this week. So we do go out normally 11 a.m.-ish. Sometimes we're a little bit late, but, you know, what the hell. Saturday mornings, which is Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, which is UTC at the moment plus 11 because of the daylight savings, which works out to approximately 5 p.m. Pacific or 8 p.m. Eastern on Fridays for the United States listeners. You can, if you don't see us live on the Saturday morning, we do repeat the live broadcast. And yes, it is recording, Josh. So,
and if you don't watch us live, shame on you.
Shame on you. No.
Shame on you for not checking out this show that is chock full of awesome.
But yeah. I'm assuming that if you're listening to this on an audio podcast, then you know where to find us. But you can find us on iTunes. Just search for Geek Actually, or you can find us at all our past episodes at geekactually.com. Mm-hmm. All right, with all of that out of the way, what have we got today? Well, today we have a little bit of a special occasion because Natalie Del Conte, a journalist at CBS and CNET, who we did a special retro review of Alien for several weeks ago now, has actually joined us on a pre-record from this morning, which is why Josh and I are up way too early this morning because we had to line up with New York time. But she has joined us for a pre-recorded spot where she basically is returning the favor, basically saying thank you very much for doing the review. And she also weighs in a little bit on our great tech war of 2009, which I thought she had some interesting perspectives. Now, the audio isn't great on it. Unfortunately, we had a lot of Skype issues this morning. bad Skype issues. But anyway, so we will get to that playback in just a few minutes. We are also going to, aside from covering a little bit of tech and a little bit of game and a little bit of entertainment news, we've got two films to review this week. We're going to review the film 9, which I actually watched last night. So I have also seen it. So we can review that all together.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. And I also went to see last night with the little geek and my lovely wife, Katie. We went to see A Christmas Carol in
3D. Which I will not be seeing.
Well, I've got some interesting things to say about that as well, and we'll come back to that. So I'll
really?
Yes. Mr. Ebenezer Ventura. but we will come back to that a little bit later in the show. Now, normally at this point, we would do feedback. Now, we did actually receive an email, which I haven't printed up yet, because it's going to take us a little bit of research to do first. For the person who sent us that piece of feedback, he was actually asking us about home theater PCs and setups for media center PCs, okay. Basically. So we're going to do a bit of research, and we'll come back to you next week on that one, because we're not experts in that field, but we do have our opinions on it, and so we will come back to that. So if you're thinking, I've forgotten about you, I haven't forgotten about you, we will come back to you.
Even if we don't know what we're talking about, we have opinions.
Absolutely, we have opinions about everything.
I'm the king of that.
The truth of the matter is, I have worked in hi-fi before, and I am currently working in hi-fi, kind of.
And you've got hi-fi experience, I've got computer experience. Dave has got...
I'm just awesome.
...listener experience.
That's true. I have ears. I use them, bad boys.
We will come up with a few different thoughts on that and come back to you on that.
Yep.
If you do want to send feedback to the show, or as in this situation, recommend us to do something, we only got his email like 2 days ago, so we haven't had time to research it yet. You can send it to feedback@geekactually.com. And if you are listening to the show from iTunes and you haven't done it yet, please put in a review on the iTunes store. It helps us get up the ranks to having more reviews. And we would really, really encourage any feedback that you have for iTunes. Okay, we're going to kick off straight into this thing, because we've got some game news, and we're going to talk a little bit about game news. And where have all my show notes gone? Wait a minute.
You got them?
They're under the piece of paper.
This is what happens when you get Dave up really early.
Yeah, I've been up way too late. Now,
I know, man. No, I've been up since like 9:30. It's been tough. Just for everyone, I was not around the lovely Natalie Del Conte for two reasons. One, because, I don't do that early in the morning.
Realistically, though, it wasn't that early in the morning, because their daylight savings are finished and our daylight savings has gone on. It was actually 8 o'clock this morning, as opposed to the 7 o'clock last time we were trying to
light. It doesn't mean that I get up at that time. Dave would have had to get up earlier than me, and that ain't going to happen.
No. And the other thing was that for those who haven't seen her, and I'm going to say this as respectfully as possible.
Because she's our friend.
I know. Natalie is, she's a lovely and gorgeous looking woman, and probably better that I don't talk to her.
Actually, yeah, it's probably better that we keep you away from the female guests.
Because I'll probably mercilessly hit on her and do something to embarrass myself or the show, which is what I bring
to
the show.
And we actually want Natalie to come back on our show.
We do, we do. So we should probably
We're going to leash and muzzle you.
As long as you don't spay and neuter me, that's fine.
We'll get a more Hannibal Lecter up in this. Like, we'll have him in the chair with the things.
Hello, Natalie. Would you like a nice chianti?
Okay.
Moving on
into your field, guys, and some of this will probably be covered in a lot more detail in platforms.
Definitely.
But we have a couple of pieces of game news that we're just going to throw out there. First of all, Modern Warfare 2. The reason why we're bringing this up is because we do film, and when it comes to gaming and film and so forth, this is all considered falls into the quote-unquote entertainment category. Well, Modern Warfare has basically slayed them at the, well, not the box office.
Slayed?
But
it's killed and raped the competition. Well, fair enough. Or raped and killed
the
competition.
According to atoms. Yeah. That's how far that it's gone.
According to an article on news.com.au from the 13th, Modern Warfare, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 blasted past $324.4 million Australian dollars, or $300 million US dollars, in its sales in its opening day, blowing away Hollywood films to become the highest grossing entertainment launch ever.
And those figures are just from the United States and the United Kingdom. That doesn't even include the European and PAL territories, which I think Josh mentioned to me before. It's looking like 7 million copies.
There have been reports of 7 million. I'm a little bit skeptical on whether that's true, because a lot of sites are saying 4, and that seems a bit more realistic. But hey, we will do a lot more research, and on platforms we will go into that in some more depth when we've found some news can actually back that up with something from Activision.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. I'll be very interested to go into this in much more detail.
Look, it is one hell of a game. We're going to break it down in the next couple of weeks, because Josh and I want to fully experience it, and there'll probably be a review on platforms. Not the next show, but the show after. Mm. But stay tuned. There will be bits and pieces.
To put this in perspective for movie people, Batman The Dark Knight currently held the record for top opening weekend. Now, that's a weekend rather than opening day. So it held for the opening weekend, and its estimate for the opening weekend was $171 million. And that was for 3 days. Mm. So this is just blowing them away.
Did you hear, too, I was reading in the paper the other day, not paper, on I think it was VJ247 or something like that, the CEO of Activision. He's kept his stock options from when he was starting up the company, which he had, I think, 2 million shares of stock options. And they were at $1.03.
Yep.
He sold all of his shares yesterday, and they were at $11.30. So the guy has made, in the first week of Call of Duty, he's made $20 million in 3 days.
Good Lord.
Fuck me, man. Like, That is just like, should I hold on? When should I sell them? Maybe 3 days after the greatest game of all time. I will do that. Thank you very much. And I'm assuming he's sleeping on
Activision,
a better focus
of Activision, he is the CEO, did you say?
Yeah.
So, but because of the way that the, what is it called? The watchdogs of the stock market. I forget what they're called. But anyway, the... because he's the CEO of the company, he has to wait like a year before he can actually liquidate, though. So he can sell the stock, but he doesn't get to see the money for a while.
I don't understand any of those words you just said. But
when his money does come in, he'll be sleeping on a large boat in a bed made of coke with hookers.
Yes. He actually won't be on the ocean. It'll just be
a boat.
It'll be a boat made of money.
No. It'll be a boat. It'll be a giant boat with a pool and another boat, and he'll be sleeping on a bed of coke and hookers.
A suit tailor-made out of dollar bills, and I'd just be like, bitch, I'm made of money. Check this out. Look at this.
Yeah, some of that.
Oh, wait. Have some change.
All right. So, with...
what were we talking about?
With the concept of modern warfare being so prevalent at this point, how would we feel about playing it with hands-free controllers?
There's only one type of game that you should play hands-free, and that usually involves women and volleyball and bikinis.
Now, the reason why I ask is because a story that we covered a couple of months ago now, and here it is, Project Natal has made the news again, because apparently Natal or Natal or however you want to pronounce it, basically...
I think it's Project NATO.
NATO. Apparently Microsoft has finally given us a date. And they are saying that it is going to hit the shelves as soon as November 2010. And it's going to have a price point of about $50.
Wow. Okay, that's surprising. Bad. Yeah.
So that'll be US dollars. So in Australia, it'll probably cost about $1,000. But you know.
You obviously haven't checked the exchange rate lately.
And forget the exchange rate. We've seen the wireless adapter.
Don't even fucking get me started on that. Exactly. That is, you could just about buy a new Xbox for the same price as a network adapter. That's
if
a fucking joke.
You've got an O6 model. You actually could. Anyway.
Anyway, so I thought that was very interesting because we did talk about it after, was it CES, Josh? What was it? Yeah, CES, and we were talking about how interesting it was, but Buzz Out Loud, it was very interesting because I was listening to Buzz Out Loud, which ties in nicely because it's the show that Natalie's on, but Buzz Out Loud was actually talking about this, and one of their callers actually called in and basically challenged it and said, I'll make you a bet. I will buy you guys your Project Natal devices if it is released in November. He said it is not coming out next November. He says this technology is not ready for prime time and it's not going to be ready by
November. If you had a look at it, I think they had a few demos at E3 and all of that, and it was, I don't know, man. I thought it was a bit rudimentary.
It's a year as well, and a year is a long time in tech.
Mm.
In gaming industry, not so much. Like, I mean, admittedly, I think it's going to be a bit like the camera was on the Xbox originally, where you had like a smattering of games that came out straight away, and then we just kind of like forgot about
it. Like, camera? What do you get a camera for?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, even today, there's about three applications I've ever used it for. I bought it so I could get one achievement on Rainbow Six.
It's sitting here at the moment.
I think it's up there.
Yeah, you also use it for that Josh sexy chat time, which is... not on the Geek Actually podcast.
No, that's on Justin
Network.
TV, isn't it?
I think it's part of the Jonas Brothers network, to be honest with you.
Whoa. Anyway.
All right, look, last piece of gaming news, and then we might move into a little bit of fun because the tech war is back this week. But I just wanted to follow up on something that you guys did on platforms, which is the Microsoft banning Xbox users. According to CNET, the ban actually reached... a little north, actually, of 1 million Xbox Live players who were banned for life.
And the thing I find interesting too is it's not just the you can have for people who don't have an understanding of games, you set up your username for your your gamer, and you can actually have, they call it a profile, and you can have several different profiles not on the same guys. Console. But now what they're doing is they're not banning the user, they're banning the entire console. So if you live with like a couple of dudes, you all share the Xbox and you've got three or four profiles, you are all proper fucked right now.
And
not a little
is,
bit fucked, proper fucked.
According to this article, it looks like that those accounts are banned for life.
Yeah.
So even if you bought yourself a new Xbox, you've got to create a whole new account.
Yeah.
You're gone. You're off the air.
No more online for you.
Yeah, it actually apparently also means all of the games that you have downloaded and all the map packs you bought, everything is gone. But you know what?
Ouch.
I say fuck them. Like, no offense, but you guys were using a chip console. You weren't paying for games. You were trying to use an Xbox Live service with games you didn't buy. There's no outcry for you. I will not be standing up and saying, poor you. It's like, you took the risk.
Well, it's a little bit like the Apple just pushed out a patch for Snow Leopard this week, and one of the things that the patch actually does is it actually cut off support for the Atom processor, which is what all netbooks run, because all these people who have got Hackintoshes are using Atom processors. Well, Apple, not now or any time in the future, ever plans to use Atom processors, so they basically slipped a little line of code into the update that basically said no support for the Atom processor.
Booyah!
So all of these Hackintoshes just went bink, out of business.
Don't these people understand that piracy is made for movies and television shows? It is not for games. All right? Jesus, people, get on fucking board.
God.
I mean, come on.
All right, the last thing on that Xbox thing, though, that really kind of tickled... The last thing on that Xbox thing that kind of tickled my fancy, though, was apparently eBay is reporting a flood of secondhand Xbox consoles for offline play only.
Really?
I love that. Anyway, so yeah, apparently if you want to pick up a cheap Xbox right now and don't feel like going out to live, apparently there's lots of them. About a million, in fact.
All right.
We're going to move ourselves into the great tech war of 2009 because, oh man, we got some fun stuff coming up here. Boy, that was loud. Anyway,
I had to take the fucking
headphones off.
All right, so
I'm signing from now on.
In the Great Tech War of 2009, we tend to believe, and in fact, we're going to run Natalie's interview. Little spot right after this because she actually addresses some of this as well. Josh and I believe, and I think Dave is in agreement as well, that the major companies, or in fact the major players in this case would be Google, Microsoft, and Apple, are literally in the middle of embroiled in a smackdown at the moment. I'm just filling people in because we haven't done a tech war in a couple weeks. So anyway, the latest piece of news in all of this, and I'm going to bring up this little graphic here because I thought this actually made me laugh. So no, not this one. The next one makes me laugh. This is Apple and Microsoft. This is the age-old war.
Is this like spy versus spy?
Yes, absolutely. This is the
Why does Microsoft get the white one? Wouldn't that be the other way around?
I don't know. It's a graphic I found. Anyway, the point is, though, with this story, is that a Microsoft manager in England basically came out with this quote, which I love dearly.
Oh, Dave is gonna revel in this one.
I'm ready. Bring it.
He said, "What we've tried to do with Windows 7, whether it's traditional format or in touch format, is to create a Mac look and feel in terms of graphics."
That man is going to be fired
next week. That brings us to the next point to this, which is basically Microsoft has immediately jumped on this, basically saying, no, he doesn't really know what he's talking about, and all this sort of stuff. And I just love this. This is actually in the Yahoo Tech News, and it was also reported in CNET as well, because this man, is his future set? You know, I mean, is he headed for the chopping
block? I think his future is set. I think he's working for Apple next year.
It says
that'll be the new tagline.
I just see him standing up and being like, booyah! And the clothes comes off, there's a big Mac.
It comes off Microsoft, their new ad campaign. Microsoft, almost as good as a Mac.
His name, by the way, was Simon Aldous.
Simon Nojo.
And Microsoft's response to this, according to Yahoo, was Microsoft didn't take long to spring into action. In a blog posted less than 24 hours after the story, a company representative described Aldous' statement as an inaccurate quote, and the internal smackdown didn't stop there. Microsoft went on to say, unfortunately, this came from a Microsoft employee who was not involved in any aspect of designing Windows 7. I hate to say this about one of our own, but his comments were inaccurate and uninformed.
I'm waiting for the new press release. He was on heroin, he was with a hooker and an eight ball, and he has no idea what he's saying. Delusional, he's in a padded cell at the moment.
Which basically means in a carpet rolled up at the bottom of the ocean.
As Mac
with Windows 7.
Yeah, a Windows 7 carpet.
Mac users have suspected for years and years and years that Microsoft copied Macintosh. Surprise. But I think, you know, it's interesting to hear it from one of Microsoft's own. And we're not talking about some little engineer. We're talking about a manager of one of the departments in England.
Ex-manager.
Well, no, he's still employed there. But boy, I tell you
this
what.
This week.
I tell you what, if Microsoft fires his ass, boy.
If I was Steve Jobs, I'd just be like, come here.
Come to the dark side.
You here?
You know what, man?
You'll start out. You'll be you and Justin Long
Dude,
from now on.
Dude, I'm putting this out to the
I
chat
used
room.
I used to be a PC. Now I'm a Mac.
Dude, seriously, what I want to do is I want somebody in the chat room to get on Photoshop and make me up a picture of Steve Jobs during that period of time where he was really sick with the hood looking like the Emperor from Star Wars, because that would just be awesome. And it's just got the employee come along and just be come to the dark side.
Well, we have the person.
Or just him going like this.
We have an artist who could do this. Spenny, if you're listening, we need a cartoon of this immediately. We need Steve Jobs as the Emperor ushering in his new apprentice.
Have him stand there like that with his hands
Steve
on the
Jobs
shoulder.
With that, and you could have Justin Long with like Darth Maul makeup, and he can walk in and you just see the little UK guy, and Jobs is there. Good.
Good.
Something dark side.
I should mention I'm going to see something dark side in about 2 weeks. I can't wait.
You're going to see what?
It's the sequel to
Blue Harvest.
Yeah.
The Family Guy. They're doing the second one with chicken as Boba Fett, which is just awesome. I can't fucking wait to go and see that. So maybe we'll all have an update on that one in a few weeks. But anyway.
Now, also in war news, and it wasn't in war news last week, but we have upgraded it because Verizon wasn't satisfied in just having that one ad.
It wasn't a quite smirk and a fuck you.
AT&T basically threw out a court case and said, and immediately threw out a lawsuit and said, we want an injunction, we want that ad taken down, we're losing incalculable amounts of money, which was their exact quote, because they can't figure it out. So what was Verizon's response? Verizon's response was this.
We're on the island of Misfit Toys.
Hey, check out the new guy.
What are you doing here? You can download apps and browse the web.
Yeah, people will love you.
You're gonna fit right in here.
Five times.
All right.
That is so brutal. It's like, it's not even subtle. It's just like, oh, by the way, giant map. In case you missed the point.
They should just have the logo and just that. Just nothing else.
But you know what?
Fuck you.
The most beautiful part was they still weren't satisfied, and they decided that another body blow was required. So
there's more.
So this came
out. There's more.
Oh. Jeff Taylor.
Nice.
Mikhail Cook.
Nice.
Steve Schaefer.
Naughty.
Good luck browsing the web with that one.
With five times more 3G coverage than AT&T, Verizon...
The old lady at the end of that is the most brutal blow of that entire ad. Just this whole, you know what, fuck you.
Yeah, good luck browsing that with that one. Now, we don't have Verizon or AT&T in this country, but boy, you know what? You're not even legally allowed to do that on Australian television. You're not allowed to bring up other people's
God
companies.
God bless America.
So that was fantastic. Those are just brutal. So Verizon is firing back. They're not taking the lawsuit. They're basically saying, sue us. We're not lying. You know? Now, AT&T's argument to this, of course, is, but there is also 2G data network. There is edge data, and that map isn't showing full data maps. It's only showing 3G. But that's what it says. That's what it says. They're not saying anything else. They're saying 3G speeds.
How dare they speak the truth?
How dare they speak the truth?
I want to see the new ad, which will be Verizon just bending over an AT&T iPhone. Just be, is this how you like it?
No, other way around. It'll be Droid bending over.
It's just
now,
so wrong.
So, all right. So that's our war news. And I think it's getting more and more brutal by the day. What we're going to do now is we're going to play back what Natalie said about the Aliens review that we did, and she also, we asked her the question of whether or not she also was seeing a trend with this SmackDown, and so you can hear what she has to say. Now, I will apologize straight off the bat. The Skype audio for Natalie is a bit rough around the edges, so bear with us. And also, if you're watching on video, it may actually slide in and out of sync. That's because of encoding issues that we had this morning. But for the audio people, you won't even notice that part.
Anyway, I apologize for my look. I may look like something out of the undead. Yeah, I'm not used to that time of the morning. I'm not used to morning, so yeah, that's my apology.
All right, so
I was asleep, so I had no comment.
No apologies for me.
I see the guys that like they're like.
Okay, and so here is our pre-record with Natalie Del Conte. And we're now joined by Natalie Del Conte, senior journalist, I believe, are you? According to your website?
I love titles.
Titles are wonderful.
What is a senior journalist? Does that mean that you've been doing it for a while, or is that an actual official title?
I think my official title is senior editor at CNET TV, but I don't really... anything other than my own show.
Fair enough. Anyway, for those who are regular listeners, you'll know that we actually threw out a retro review several weeks ago now of Alien in honor of Natalie, because she mentioned on the wonderful podcast Buzz Out Loud that she had never seen it.
And we were horrified.
And we were horrified.
And so many people. I know. It's like I got my geek badges revoked for that statement alone.
Oh, don't worry. I've got a few of those up my sleeve. I've got Buffy, and every time I say that, everybody's like, "You haven't seen Buffy," and I'm like, "Oh God!" And yeah, so
he also hasn't watched Battlestar Galactica.
I'm getting there. I'm up to episode 5. Anyway, look, we're getting off track.
So we reviewed Alien in honor of Natalie Del Conte, and you were really, really sweet about it, and actually mentioned it on Buzz Out Loud, and we actually got a lot of hits from it and so forth. And then you basically offered to come onto our little show, and I was very, very honored by this.
Yeah, we're very humbled right now.
Oh, well, I was glad for the opportunity. I listened in, and it was really funny because you guys had been talking about you know, my lack of knowing about Alien, but you guys were so nice about it, and you're like, well, we should talk about it then. And so then I promptly went and bought part 2.
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit on us there, Natalie.
Yeah, there we go. It's back.
That's better.
Yep, there we go.
Yeah, so I believe you mentioned that on the on Buzz Out Loud that you'd also put Aliens on your Netflix queue.
I did. I watched the both of them. I realized that I had seen most of Aliens when I watched it, so that wasn't. I guess I had just blocked it. It was scary it was scary for me back then.
All right, so here's a question for you, because this was a raging debate on our show, actually, at one point, and is actually kind of a raging debate within the geek community, which is, which one did you prefer?
The first one.
I completely agree. Like, I mean, some people like the second one, but I've always just found like it was more suspense and less action, and I think that was probably why I like it.
Look, I really like the second one. I think James Cameron did a great job with the second one, but I think the first one will be remembered as a masterpiece. It'll be remembered as a classic for years and years to come.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So,
what I believe you don't like horror films. Is that correct, Natalie?
I do not like horror films, no. I'm single, you know. I don't have anyone to really sort of, you know, I don't do that because then I'm home alone at night and I think I'm hearing something and it freaks me out.
Fair enough.
I got to say, throughout most of my teen years, I actually didn't like horror films either. And it was... I don't know, something snapped within me one day. A friend of mine actually took me to see, I don't know if anybody remembers, because I'm old, I always mention this.
You are old.
But he took me to the cinema to see Alligator.
What? That sounds terrible. That's like Mega Shark versus Octopus.
It's actually not a bad film, but I realized at that point that horror films actually weren't that scary.
I think it's...
Yeah, I mean, if they're cheeky enough, then that's okay. Mm. But I think even things that people think are cheeky, I tend to think are scary. Like, I saw the first Scream, and I was like, never again.
I thought the first Scream was quite scary, too. Sorry, say that again?
I think people don't think Scream is scary, right?
Well, I see it as scary. I thought it was pretty scary.
I think the first one was. They started to get a bit more ridiculous as they went along. But yeah, no, I like even me, and I'm a massive horror fan. I mean, even I can say that one was one I would consider scary. Like, it had a lot of freaky moments.
Look, I thought Wes Craven did a great job with Scream. I thought it was funny, and it was referential to horror films. But it was a good horror film on its own.
At the same time, I want to mention that I haven't been able to take that movie seriously ever since Scary Movie. Like, every time I look at it now, every time that she's walking around the house at the start, I'm just thinking of the intro to
Have you seen
movie.
Scary Movie, the Wayans Brothers comedy?
No, I have not.
Yeah, okay.
It's not good.
It's not good in any way or form, but it really trashes that movie, and you can't take it seriously after that. So, yeah, stay clear.
Stay clear. Say one more time.
I plan to.
Good stuff.
I think the spoof movie trend that was raging for the last couple of years is definitely on its way out. I hope. I hope. Anyway, we're going to move on a little bit here because you are a tech journalist, and while I've got you here, Natalie, I really need to get your opinion on something. We have been covering for a couple of months. A couple of months now, the idea of what we refer to as the Great Internet Tech War of 2009. And we've basically been watching tech news, and really it has boiled down to what we believe is just a ginormous smackdown. that would be seen, and it really is kind of it's like news from the front watching Silicon Valley at the moment with who's attacking who, who's fired shots over whose bow, and so forth. Do you see this? You're there in the thick of it. Do you actually see this?
Well, who are we talking about? Just any tech companies are fighting each other? It seems like I see a lot of fighting, but it's also passive-aggressive between various companies. It's fighting with press releases.
Well, yeah, I would have agreed with you. Up until the last 10 weeks or 11 weeks that we've been covering this, in particular, the big players in this, because it's always been traditionally Microsoft, Apple, and, they pick at each other and all this sort of stuff. But we've seen a huge movement in the movement of Google versus Microsoft, and these two seem to be at each other's throats. Every time one of them comes up with something what they refer to as an innovation, there seems to be a release of the other one copying them or coming out and complaining about them or what have you. And we just seem to be seeing a much more aggressive campaign in tech than we have in the last few years.
And I would say that like Mac's right up there as well at the moment. I think they're starting to really come to the forefront with their new ad campaign being very visceral, in my opinion. It's like, it's no longer funny, Justin Long. It's actually like going...
Yeah, I actually found the last two Mac ads in particular, I actually found them quite bitter.
I would agree with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's funny. We fight with information now more than bullets and swords. It's very postmodern. And there's a great book by Jean Baudrillard called The Gulf War Did Not Exist about how we fight our wars more now, through news than through actual combat. We don't see, muskets and soldiers on the ground, although unfortunately we do still have to have soldiers on the ground in the war that my country involved in, but yeah, you see people fighting ideologically more than anything else, and I wish it didn't have to be like that, because we are in the age of information where we tout openness and collaboration and mashups, but these companies still want to throw daggers.
Yeah, I agree. We've seen this a lot in the news in the last couple of weeks, in particular the fight between Verizon and AT&T.
Yeah, which is not so relevant over here, but you look at the ads even from our point of view, and we're sitting here going, wow, that's brutal.
Yeah, they're harsh.
Like, have you...
But we used to see that with McDonald's and Burger King. I don't think they do that quite as much anymore.
I haven't seen a directed campaign like the Verizon one where they actually are calling out their competitor in quite a long time. We used to see it a lot with the Pepsi Coke ads back in the 70s. To actually name them up front and say, this is it, this we're on the attack, is brutal.
Yeah.
I would agree. I'm not sure it's in the best case. I don't like it. When I see those ads, I just feel a lot of empathy for the attackee.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because coming back to those Mac ads, I mean, that's the way that I'm thinking. I mean, I am more a PC user than I am a Mac user, but what I find really funny is I've always found those ads very wholesome, very tasteful, and good fun. And, you know, like, I can take a laugh at myself as a PC user. But when those latest ones came out, I was just sitting there going, I feel abused.
Yeah. Below the belt.
Yeah, they are. They're below the belt. That's very, very true. Very, very true indeed. Well, okay, so we're gonna be doing a bit of coverage on the Great War today. We didn't have any war news yesterday, but today in our show this week, you guys covered it on Buzz Out Loud as well with this whole Intel payout to AMD. So, I mean, is this Intel admitting that they were in an antitrust situation?
Quietly. Slip
it. Yeah, I think that it is. Although, you know, they're always very cagey about the way that they admit those kind of things, and they'll say maybe this money was to pacify some practices that we didn't know were completely illegal, or we did these things and it's a gray area whether it's illegal. But this only covers the United States. Overseas, the EU is still looking into Intel's practices, and AMD, every time Intel gets accused of something like that, AMD will again fight with the press release and put out some kind of statement like, we are very encouraged that the EU is looking into this practice. And so again, another fight with information.
But isn't the EU is traditionally incredibly blocking anyway.
Mm.
That's true. But wouldn't the more graceful thing be to just keep your mouth shut?
Well, there's that.
Yeah, there is that, but I don't know. Big companies, I'm not sure whether that's kind of the style.
Right.
Now, as you know, Natalie, we actually cover film and tech. We're kind of a mixed bag here. We're just a general geek show because we like being geeks, and we address our major passions. Mm. And we have a major geek event coming up in December, which is, of course, James Cameron's Avatar in 3D, which we're trying to organize IMAX tickets to at the moment. Mm. And we would be very, very honored if you'd like to try and drop us a voicemail or even maybe pop in for 5 minutes just to give us your opinions on it.
I would love to.
Maybe in the coming...
I will commit to that. I actually missed the preview of it at Comic-Con. I saw some of the big... I don't know what I would call them. Avatars?
Oh, the Na'vi?
The prop.
The props. That's right. They had one of the walkers.
They had one of the giant walkers there. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It was a big walker, and then they had some kind of bullet-looking car, and I'm probably making a fool of myself. I should know the names of them.
No, it's all right. Don't worry. No one really knows the names of them yet. So, so there's no letdown there. But, yes, no. Well, that's awesome. Did you see the footage that they were running?
No, I didn't. I wasn't in that conference when they released. I think I was sent somewhere else that was stupider, and I was annoyed that I didn't get to see that.
Well, I finally got to see the latest trailer. I finally got to see it in 3D, and oh my God.
Yeah?
It looks good. It really does look good. So I am looking forward to that. So we will be in touch, and we will try and arrange a time to get your opinions on this, and then we won't have to do a retro review on it for you. We can get it firsthand.
Okay.
That sounds great. Wonderful. I want to thank you again for joining us, Natalie. It's been wonderful for you to come on the show.
And well, thank you very much. I'm glad that I didn't have to watch Friday the 13th in preparation for this.
No, we've actually decided not to do Friday the 13th today. Yes, we've got a few other things that we have to do anyway.
The other co-host of the show, unfortunately, is also, like you, not a huge horror fan, so it is very difficult to get ones like that on the show because he doesn't want to watch them either. So no great loss there. It's all right.
And this week we actually
have... The wimps of the world need to unite and stick together.
We'll let him know that.
This week we actually have two feature films to review, so we don't have time for a retro this week, unfortunately. Yeah. So, but we will try and do some more retros as we go. If there's ever a film that you haven't seen and think that you should have, drop us an email, Natalie, and we will do another retro review in your honor.
We love doing that. It's good fun.
It was very good fun. And I want to say thank you again for taking time out of your very busy schedule to fit us in. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much, Natalie.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So that was Natalie Del Conte this morning. We had to tie it into the time zone. So Josh and I have been up a little bit early because New York is 16 hours different. So what do you think, Dave?
She's hot.
She's a sweetheart.
No, she's great. I'm nice looking lady. Forward to the next time that we all have a little interview. And as you said, you muzzle me and leash me, and then
hopefully the next time she comes on, you'll be too busy talking about the actual topic. Because remember, she says that she wants to come on and help us review Avatar.
Look, so. We don't need to go to all that extent with Dave anyway. We just need to get a shock collar.
You're gonna attach it to my crotch though.
Yeah,
that's what I was Natalie, thinking. How's it going? You know, you're kind of a sorry guys.
Dude, it would just lead in and Dave would already be electrocuted and I'd be like, that's your first blast. Got
anything to say, Dave? Well, actually I was
I want to thank Natalie Del Conte one more time because she was a very good sport for coming on our show. Yeah. And I want to thank Dave for being a really good sport and not being
This is my last appearance on Geek Actually and Platforms. I will be starting up a new show next week called Fuck You McVeigh, and that will be on any other network that will host it. So thank you very much. And moving
all right, so hopefully we will see Natalie or get Natalie on the show again one more time. Hopefully next time we'll get some video on her, because we should try and get Skype video happening, but the desk doesn't like to accept Skype, so we've got to figure that out.
I don't think the desk likes us at all.
No, I don't think it either. The fact
it
that
usually crashes at least once, if not twice.
I also apologize to our chat room. The audio listeners won't get this, but I do apologize to our chat room for the fact that I restarted the video halfway through because I was using the wrong keyboard. I'm surrounded by keyboards and computers here.
Every time I hear that noise from now on, I'm going to be like, Dave, stop it.
Change keyboard. Because what you're hearing at that dunk dunk is actually me trying to type into the chat room on the wrong keyboard.
Yeah, I think maybe we need to put like a big sign up above each keyboard. This one does this, Dave.
What do you think
one
that
does
fact that.
That
this one has a giant Microsoft written on it and this one has a giant Apple logo on it, you would think I would
know. I don't know. It's pretty hard to, to solve that Da Vinci code.
We're going to move ourselves into tech because we've got just a little tiny bit of tech, which is just kind of leads us into film, actually. They're kind of half related. So here we go. Oh, wrong one. My fingers are all over the keyboard today. So anyway, we're a bit of a mess here, but that's all right. In our tech news today, we're really, really only focusing on one thing. We have a couple stories, but really only going to focus on one thing, which is basically online downloading of movies.
Yes.
And we're going to throw this to Koziki over here, because I think he's got some information on this for us, which is quite exciting.
That's right, I caught it. It's good. Yeah, see that video magic going on there.
There
was a couple of interesting things that they announced. I know that they're doing it across Xbox Live. I'm not sure if they're doing it across other
networks. It's only launching across the other platforms in the States in the coming months, so I don't know how long it's going to take until that filters down here.
But as far as upcoming news, on the 17th of November, Xbox Live is basically increasing its social and downloading calendar. And what it is they've got a simplified Facebook and Twitter interface, which are both done just for Xbox Live, so you can interact. And they've got Movies on Demand, finally, which is something that Netflix and the rest of the world have been doing it for God knows how long, and finally it catches up here. I mean, we just got the news that JFK was shot, so it's pretty awesome to be back on that. I mean, look, this is the way the industry is going to go, or any industry is going to go. I mean, ever since streaming began, it's going to get to a point where you will get this type of thing. DVD, I'm not going to say DVD will be obsolete, but DVD will definitely be on the decline. My feeling on it is DVDs are like books and magazines. People will always want a cover or tactile content. But at the same time, there are people who They just want to rent and watch a movie. They don't want to keep it. Several
of the major tech podcasts have basically been speculating about this as well. They're saying that they're seeing the demise of physical media.
Yeah.
They're basically saying that everything will go on online and streaming because the average person, and we're not talking about the collector, we're talking about the average person actually doesn't care about Blu-ray quality. They don't care about – what they do care about is convenience. And if they can literally go, turn on machine, watch that – half an hour, it's here, or they can watch it instantly, or it streams live, or whatever it is, and it works, they'll be happy.
Look, I mean, I haven't done a lot, but I've done a little bit of research into this, and I mean, from my understanding is that if you do want to do streaming, like full movies and everything else, you need a pretty high bandwidth to keep it going.
Which is one of the things that we suffer from in Australia.
Well, because the thing is that everywhere else, well, just about everywhere else in the world, it's unlimited downloads, and, you know, free broadband, or if not like a you pay a premium, but it gives you, you know, a high bandwidth with absolutely no limitations. Whereas here, you know, I don't know, some of us may eat through 100 gig a month quite easily without even trying. And I mean, you try and add streaming onto that. I mean, personally, I'm not a fan.
The only thing that's going to make this work is if our caps are raised and our fees come down, or
and the timing of when these are released too. I mean, because most of them, I know it's different in the States. You were mentioning before that was it the Girlfriend Experience and what was the other film?
Girlfriend Experience, and I forget. Brad and Charlie at Movie Fan House just reviewed a new horror film, Satan something, whatever it's called. I forget what it's called. Anyway,
and
but the point is that was released, watch instantly. Day and date, the cinema times.
Yeah, and I mean, if they organise something like that, it's going to make a big difference. Because there are a lot of people who have kids or families or whatever, and they'll just sit there and go,
it
spend
won't
$30, $40 and go out, or I spend $10 at home and sit on my ass.
It won't happen, definitely not in this country. I mean, we learned that when DVD first came out, because video stores were getting things day and date for the movie because it took us so long to get the movie over here, and we were getting the DVD instantly because they would just import from another country.
I love that. Thank you, DVDboxoffice.com.
And Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
Yeah. And it used to happen regularly, and that was okay, and it was fine, and then all of a sudden, boom, the law was dropped, and they stopped that. And that's the same thing that will happen with this.
Yeah, but think about this. If, let's say, physical media does go the way of the dinosaur, and it all becomes online, think about this. Studios can control this so much more. And I'm not talking about being good for us. I'm talking about being good for them. We won't be able to. If they say a film is going to come down the track 3 months after its American release date, we could say, let's go buy the DVD from Amazon or from Video Box Office or whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
We won't be able to do that because there won't be any physical disc, and we will be at the mercy of when local distribution puts it on the stream to feed it, or for those who are clever enough to hack the IP number to
well, funnily
stream
enough,
from the States.
To bring that up, like, I mean, I am originally a New Zealand representative, you know, like I come from there, and my account, because of the fact that I started my Hotmail account in New Zealand, my account is a New Zealand Xbox Live account. And I already have Netflix. It went live about a week or two ago. And I can currently access anything from that site. So maybe if no one locks down on it,
but here's a very interesting point for you, though, Josh, which is, and we get into slightly the more tech side of it now, which is in Australia, if you're, we've talked about this before on both platforms and on this show, but if you are an IINet customer.
I'm not IINet.
You're not IINet. But let's say if you were an IINet customer. Yeah. And this is not an ad for IINet because we're not sponsored by anybody, but the fact is all Xbox Live traffic on IINet is free and doesn't count towards your quota, which is makes Netflix streaming a whole lot more attractive suddenly because you can watch whatever you want and it's not going to count towards your quota. However, because your account is a New Zealand account,
I understand
it
what you're
wouldn't
saying.
Be free.
Look, I understand what you're saying, man, but the honest truth is, when it comes down to it, if I wanted to watch a movie 3 months in advance for the same price as I would pay for it here, I would more than happily spend a gig off my download cap to watch that in high def on my TV.
To me, this is a moot point because unlike you people who still live in the world of DVD, some of us who like Blu-ray, you know, that will not go out. And I'm not going to fucking spend 25 gig to download a fucking Blu-ray movie.
But
man.
They don't put out true Blu-ray. They do put out what they refer to as high def content, but it's actually 480p or 720p.
It'll probably be 576i DVD quality, or maybe 720p. But I mean, if it's 720p, you're looking at least
somebody actually made the observation. I think it was actually Alex Lindsay in MacBreak Weekly when he actually said that those numbers actually become irrelevant. Because it's not actually a matter of the pixel resolution. Because remember, what that 780 is referring to is pixel resolution, right? The height of pixels. Because it's also about the compression then. And so, yes, they could put out 1080p if they want to. But if you're going to heavily compress 1080p, that's not Blu-ray quality anymore. Because it's now, yes, a big picture, but it's so heavily compressed that it's no longer high def.
And if you don't know, if you haven't seen Blu-ray, I mean, I keep trying to explain to people, you know, the difference. And it really is something that you can't put into words. You have to sit down. And once you watch any Blu-ray, I mean, I say Dark Knight or Casino Royale are probably the two best Blu-ray transfers I've seen of all of the new breed. It's like an orgy for your eyeballs. It will peel them back and just make angry love to them. And you really, really need to...
I love the visual.
I know. Dave's visuals are definitely...
It's an orgy for your eyeballs.
I'm actually in the process of saving. I'm going to try and get Blu-ray by the end of this year.
So, I mean, there are the hardcore fans and people who have experienced Blu-ray. This will not affect them in any way, shape, or form. They'll just be like, yeah, whatever.
However, no, but it will affect Blu-ray users, because let's face it. Let's say, because it's all about the bottom line, okay? Let's face it. If the studio starts to put Netflix out around the world and they start to say, wow, look at how much money we make from streaming, because the average person doesn't want to spend $40 for a Blu-ray disc. The average person doesn't want to buy a DVD at all. They'd rather just stream it from their house. Well, then we'll just stop pressing Blu-ray discs, because what's the point when we can make the same money? And I'm not saying that that's the way I want it to go. I'm just saying this is...
I'm a punchy man.
What I'm saying is, the bottom line is that within 10 years, I think we are going to be a discless society.
That I agree with. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
It's going to happen eventually.
But at that point, I reckon... Sorry to cut you off. I reckon that you'll have ridiculous bandwidth and download speeds.
Well, hopefully everybody
point,
will be fiber
know.
Optic by then. So.
Exactly. And in that case, then you'll be sitting there, and with unlimited downloads, you'll be sitting there going, Blu-ray, whatever. Oh, 100 gig, sure, let's go. You know, whatever.
Like, at the moment, though, I think there will always be a place for Blu-ray, because anyone that has a Blu-ray player and somebody goes, look, I downloaded this high-def video, we just sit there and go, high-def, you don't even know what high-def is.
I mean, when you download a 1080p trailer or something like that, like directly from the PlayStation Store or from Xbox Live, you know it. Like, you're just sitting there and you're just like, first second, you're just like, hey, dude, then all of a sudden some cinematic kicks in.
But see,
like,
that is actually still not the same compression being used in Blu-ray, though.
No, I know.
And that's what I mean.
And that
1080p, I believe in the States, they're actually starting to stream 1080p, which is what that... basically that format of those trailers are, and they're big files and everything else, but that's not Blu-ray.
No, it
looks great, but it's not the Blu-ray experience.
Like, as Sangeek Pim said, and I would actually use this as my own personal sort of mark as well for our Blu-ray, is Iron Man on Blu-ray was the experience that changed Blu-ray for me. I sat there and just went, my God, this... Watching that a second time on Blu-ray was just like watching it at the cinema.
For me, it was the... when I watched, I mean, Casino Royale blew me away, but when you got Batman Begins, when they re-released the 2-disc edition and they had the first 6 minutes of The Dark Knight.
Oh, man.
And with all the IMAX high def. I remember watching it on my Bravia and I was just like, I need to change my underwear.
I just sat there after that 6 minutes and I'm just staring at the screen. I've just got this grumpy look. I'm like, fucking another month for that movie. Damn. What a waste.
All right, so we're going to follow this pretty closely, I think, for the next few months anyway, because we will have Netflix by next week, and we will see how it works.
Well, you will. I'll be watching a Blu-ray on my PS3 player with my 1080p.
This war is going to go on. This will be our own internal war.
Look at Dave shaking his head. I'm going to kill this guy. Dave is no longer on the show.
Get over it, Dave.
See, that's why I think you haven't put me on the credits. It's just so you've got that little, you know.
Just one week, Dave. Dave just won't appear on the show. He'll just be gone.
Yeah, it's bad for all the people who are in the chat room, because what they're going to think is if you called in sick next week or something, they say, you kicked Dave off the show. Like, no, I didn't.
Then we can start up a Facebook page, Save Dave. Save Dave from Geek, actually. Yeah, and I'll be both of them with different aliases.
All right, let's...
And
there'll
be Popshot with his dislikes this.
I think that story kind of leads us straight into entertainment news, so I think we'll go straight into entertainment news. Josh is looking at me going, really? We're going into entertainment news? It's like, yeah, because, you know, the second tech story kind of bored me. So, look, the second tech story, for those who didn't know, was that Intel finally admitted that they did something wrong because they took the payout from AMD.
We already covered that on the Natalie
thing.
You
know what, though? I did have a fun little graphic for that, though, so I could have put this graphic
on. Oh, that's awesome.
But we're not going to do that. What we are going to talk about, though, is the trailer... to the new, what the hell, which one are we doing first?
Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans, thank you.
Glad somebody's professional here. I'm shocked that it's me.
Page. All right, we're going to have a look at the trailer for the new Clash of the Titans movie. Have you guys seen this yet? Or is this your first time?
I actually haven't. This is my virgin look.
All right, so, well, let's have a look at it and then we'll talk about it. Cause,
let me put a prophylactic on my eyeballs.
I got a couple of things that I want to say about it.
One day, somebody's gonna have to make a stand. One day, somebody's gotta say enough.
I can say is, really? Is that what they came up with? You know, look, the original Clash of the Titans, for those who haven't seen it, was a Ray Harryhausen stop motion. It was like the last of the Ray Harryhausen stop motion films. It had an all-star cast. We had Laurence Olivier playing Zeus, and we had Harry Hamlin, and it was...
And gold, uber gay costumes.
The togas, and it was garbage. And in fact, it's on my Gloriously Wonderful Battles because it's hysterically funny to watch.
Oh, it's fucking gold.
But it is terrible. Now, when I first heard that they were going to make a remake of Clash of the Titans, I went, really? Why? And then the news started dribbling. We started to say Lawrence Kasdan was writing the screenplay. Lawrence Kasdan, for those who don't know, wrote The Big Chill and Empire Strikes Back and the original Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I started to go, ooh, that sounds kind of interesting. Then Louis Leterrier was hired to direct it. He reinvigorated the Hulk. He did the Transporter films. I thought he knows how to handle an action scene.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to do a score, how to score a film properly.
No, but this is the big thing. And then I started. Then this trailer finally came. And then I heard Sam Worthington was being cast as Perseus. And Josh's favorite piece of news, which was Liam Neeson was cast as Zeus.
Should have been Nicolas Cage.
Should have been Nicolas Cage.
I've got a thunderbolt for you right here.
All right. So I saw the trailer and then I looked it up on IMDb and Lawrence Kasdan's name is nowhere to be found. So I don't know what happened to him. I don't know whether he wrote a draft and then walked or what happened.
He's like, get me paid, bitch. I'm out.
And visually, I like the look of it. I like the fact that they've gone for a much more realistic look and so forth. But that is the worst piece of shit trailer I have ever seen.
All I was thinking is, this is Titans! Just waiting for somebody to, push kick something down a pit or off an edge or something.
It's like,
man.
It's like Prince between 300 and Prince of Persia. What was it leaping through the air?
No, fuck that. Like the worst thing for me out of any of it was actually the...
Rock God music?
No, yeah, it's like fact that the music is like made for the clip and it's got all these bits where like drums hit and it'll be like, bah!
I like the fact that there's that one.
The tail stab? What the fuck is that?
Three drum beats and the tail going bam, bam, bam.
And I'm just sitting there going, this is not a rock concert. These people, like, that didn't impress me. Looking at the visuals, if I did that with the sound off, I might almost enjoy that trailer.
I agree.
See, I'm hoping that they cut all dialogue out of the movie and they just do it as like a rock opera. And they just have it over the thing and just every sword stroke, shield bash is punctuated.
To be fair to the filmmakers, and we always like to play a little bit of devil's advocate here, to be fair, that is a teaser. The full trailer won't come until later down the track. It doesn't come out until next year. So I'm hoping, give them a chance, hoping that that bombs on them terribly and that they get rid of the slogan, Titans will clash.
Mm.
Sorry.
It looks like this clash got a bit more Titan-y.
Yeah, it's just, what the hell? Yeah, I'm hoping down the track we will, because I actually was holding hopes.
If you wait just like a week longer, man, you'll probably find that the director will change to Alan Smithy.
Although I don't think Louis Leterrier has any shame, so
if you've watched Transporter 3, you want
he to... didn't direct that one. That's we can't hold him to that one. But I got to tell you, there's some gold in Transporter 2.
Yes, well, gold's one word for it.
There's some blonde in Transporter 2. That's bad.
I actually have a copy of Transporter 3 downstairs. Found out he didn't direct it and haven't watched it yet. So
yeah, you know what? You've done yourself a great service.
Really good.
Look, I love Statham. I think he's great. But my opinion on him is the same as Colin Farrell, which is use your own fucking accent.
Yeah.
You know, that's all, because they just act more natural. It's a lot more
fun. I actually
really
like Statham in The Bank Job. I thought he was...
That was a great film.
Really good in The Bank Job. I think he is capable of doing really good stuff. And I loved him in Snatch, you know.
I love Snatch.
Thanks for that. We are going to muzzle you. I'm going to muzzle you.
Natalie's not on the show, man.
We
it's
still have
good.
Other female geeks like Where? Laura, remember?
Excuse me. This is why the show carries an explicit tag at the beginning of the podcast.
All right, moving right along. We're going to talk a little bit about Avatar. Now, we're not going to play any more trailers or anything like that, but what we are going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about its budget. Because it was finally announced what this film cost to make. Now, there's been a lot of speculation about whether it was $200 million, $300 million, a little north of $300 million, whatever. Well, it came out that it's actually $500 million.
Are you fucking serious? I think that's actually known as a Brazilian dollar.
It is the $500 million movie.
I'm going to carry that one through as many times as I have to until it catches on.
It is now the $500 million movie, and the question is, can it make its money back?
Yes. Absolutely. I think... Look, first of all, it's the first Cameron film in fucking ages, so there's going to be a ton of people who are going to see it just off the bat. Just for the fact, forget Avatar, forget special effects, whatever. The fact that it's a Jim Cameron film, they're going to go and check it out. I don't know if they'll make it back in the box office, but I think that by the time
this
it hits DVD, by the time it hits worldwide release, DVD sales, Blu-ray sales, I think. Definitely it will turn a profit. And
I think it could be possible it could even do that. Like, look at the way they're marketing it. The start of that, like, every poster you've seen in bold letters across the top of the thing has one thing which will help it sell.
From
which
the makers
says,
of Titanic.
Yep, from the makers of Titanic.
That doesn't help me. I prefer the new trailer that's like... Aliens, Terminator, yeah. True Lies. I was like, yes.
But we're talking about everyone, and from the everyone point of view, from the everyone point of view, what you're getting is that's going to grab the mom and pop that went and saw that film because it was about the Titanic. You're going to see that, and they're going to be like, oh, that was a really good movie. And it's not the posters and so on and so forth aren't offensive to the eyes, and they're not very. Too sci-fi-ish, you know what I mean? Like, they're not ugly aliens and stuff like that. They're marketing it to be appropriate for everyone.
Now, the question is, or the point is on this, is that Titanic made $1 billion or $1.5 billion at the box office, but a lot of people attribute that to what is now the Twilight crowd. Mm. It's that young teenage demographic, young teenage female demographic that basically took Titanic through the roof and is taking the Twilight and New Moon films through the roof. Does Avatar have that market?
They should have cast Leonardo DiCaprio instead of Sam Worthington.
See, the question is, I mean, from what I understand, there is a huge love story component to Avatar, you know, between Sam Worthington and...
She's blue,
and Saldana. But they're blue. That's the point. They're blue, you know?
Geeks love blue. Like, the Mass Effect proved that. But, further to the point, though, I don't see it making Titanic figures... And yes, I do see a big problem being that you're missing the teen demographic, and really none of the people in their roles are, you know, heartthrobs in any way or form. Like, I mean,
I think that you're forgetting though that they're going to draw in the big retro Smurf crowd, which is going to,
speaking of Smurfs, apparently massive numbers. The last episode of South Park, which I haven't seen yet, apparently does a send up of Avatar, and it's all about Cartman going to save the Smurfs. I have to see if I can find a copy of it. Anyway,
God.
All right. The last note on that before we move on is that Fox has basically come out defending the $500 million, saying that really it isn't a financial disaster for anybody because they have split this budget amongst three separate companies to produce this film. So if it tanks, it's actually not a major hit to any one company. Mm. And Fox itself has actually come out smelling quite pretty because apparently it only has like a 40% investment in this.
Look, I think it will make its money back. I would like to think it will make it back in the box office, even though that will be a huge, huge weekend. I mean, like you said, Dark Knight did 170 million in its first weekend. 171
million in its first weekend. But that's only domestic as well, though.
That's domestic. And then you've got Avatar coming out, what, a week before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be the height of school holidays in the and uni breaks and whatever else in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but that first weekend, you don't think that every man and his fucking dog is going to go and see it? It's not a traditionally
big movie period, though. I'm surprised that Avatar isn't coming out in summer.
Off of the June blockbusters or whatever else. For the June blockbusters,
yeah. I mean, because you got to remember, Christmas does take a toll. There is people shopping and then holidays and then families. And yes, there is a lot of school holidays and so forth, but it's not as big a school holiday as summer in America.
Look, I'll tell you now, like, personally, even if the film's a piece of shit, I know I'm going to go and see it like three times.
Well, I think so too. But I think the geek crowd, though, cannot save a picture. Watchmen proof.
No, but
Firefly and Serenity and something.
Look, yeah, but even that's not. That's still not. Guys, sorry, yeah.
I think we're missing one important point, though, that is that you have to treat this movie, and I'm not saying it is going to be, so no one hold me to this, but you have to treat this movie like Star Wars.
Hmm.
Like, this is an original concept, though it may take from a lot of other things. You know, like, they're selling it for the 3D, they're selling it for the CGI. Everyone you know knows what it is, right? This has this whole backlog of people that wouldn't normally go see this kind of movie that will probably go see this film. I honestly think that you may end up with the Star Wars kind of feel towards it, where it's the movie that everyone takes, wife, kid. Like,
it's possible.
And the whole thing is, as far as I know, it doesn't look to have an MA rating or something like that. So I imagine that this will be the movie that you take the family to.
I guarantee at a $500 million budget, I guarantee Fox demanded a PG-13 rating. Yeah,
exactly.
On this.
Yeah. And if they can pull that with the families and the kids and the mice and the mothers and the dates.
The mice and the mothers?
The wives.
Oh, I thought you said the mice and the mothers. I'm going, what the hell?
Jesus, Grumpy Bitch, is that your mum?
Because Grumpy Bitch is, yeah, I think that is Mirren. Yeah,
because I know that tone.
I love your mouth. You can use any way you want.
Hello, that's right, Mirren. Ladies. Mirren is in the chat. Mirren's that's in right, the ladies. House.
I'm on all week.
Oh, God.
All right, so I think that's enough on the. The one thing that I think is very interesting, though, is that if Avatar can make the same money as The Dark Knight, then it's sitting pretty.
Look, I think it will do very well. Like, I rescind my previous statement. And yeah. I think that it will break even at box office, and then it will cane itself on DVD and Blu-ray.
Right. All right. Well, you know, I think, the comment that you made before, by the way, Dave, I'm going to just throw in a caveat to that and say geeks buy lots of DVDs, geeks watch a lot of stuff pre-recorded and so forth. They couldn't save it while it was on air. They couldn't save the movies while they were at the cinema. I bet you Watchmen has done much more business on DVD and Blu-ray than it ever did at the box office.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Firefly. Firefly died on television. The DVD went on to be this massive selling DVD. Geeks are very, very strange animals, let me tell you. We are a strange bunch, let me just tell you that.
Speak for yourself, I'm totally normal.
All right, we got another trailer we got to look at, and we've got to look at this trailer because Josh has been...
This is the tits, I have to say.
Biting at the bit for this movie. So here we go. Yeah. This is the trailer for the new movie, Kick-Ass.
I always wondered why nobody did it before me. I mean, all those comic books, movies, TV shows. You'd think the one eccentric loner would have made himself a costume. I mean, is everyday life really so exciting? The schools and offices so thrilling that I'm the only one who ever fantasized about this? Come on, be honest with yourself. At some point in our lives, we all wanted to be a superhero. That's not me, by the way. That's some Armenian guy with a history of mental health problems. That's me. How come nobody's ever tried to be a superhero? Dude, if anybody did it in real life, they'd get their ass kicked. They'd be dead in, like, a day. Comic books had it wrong. You don't need a power to be a superhero. Oh, yeah. Didn't see that, did ya? Who are you? I'm Kick-Ass.
So you want to play?
All right.
Fuck yeah.
I am waiting for that one.
Oh, man.
I just came. That's all I have to say.
Just like everything about that movie speaks politically wrongness and just awesome. May I add, for anyone in the chat room that doesn't know, Hit Girl is 13 in that movie.
There is a 13-year-old
running around in that movie beating the hell out of people.
In fact, the director, Vaughn, basically said... it was the thing that was going to make or break his film, basically, was whether or not the audiences would accept a 13-year-old doing what she does.
Just for people who don't know, the director is Matthew Vaughn, who was, I think he was an executive producer or DOP with Guy Ritchie throughout all of his Lock, Stock and Snatch. He directed Layer Cake, so he's got a pedigree of kick-ass, hardcore, violent
movies. I keep wanting to say Vince Vaughn. It's not Vince Vaughn. What's his name? It's
Matthew Vaughn.
Matthew Vaughn.
He just said that. If you would listen to what people are saying my eyes were distracted by the fact that
Grumpy Bitch just said, I think I just wet myself a little.
Yeah.
Dave, then she's jailbait, so watch out. Grumpy Bitch, you can always tape her together and make a good
But moving on. I'm going to muzzle you. I've said it from the beginning of the show. I'm going to muzzle you.
In fact, Dave, I really think you should use that as the title for this week's episode.
I'm going to muzzle you.
I'm going to muzzle Dave.
Just to let people know, shut up, I'm still talking. Kick-Ass is based on a... Sorry, I have to get this out. Kick-Ass is written by the guy who wrote Wanted, not the... though I enjoyed the movie, it has nothing to do with the actual
comic
book.
I mean, the
real character, just to gloss over it very quickly, the real character in Wanted looked exactly like Eminem. Mm. And he was part of a conglomerate of super villains, not heroes, and then he just went around and axed everybody, and it was hilarious. It was one of the funniest reads I've ever had, and it was Mark Miller.
Yeah.
And he's written Kick-Ass. And this actually looks like a very faithful reproduction of the comic book.
Well, Matthew Vaughn actually said that from the very beginning of the production. The reason why he independently financed it, the reason why he stayed away from all major studios, Lionsgate, wanted to do it his way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that really shows. And like anyone that's been following him along the way, because he has his site and he posts up a lot of things. Like I told Dave this before. I thought this was really hilarious. As you go to his site, and one of the first posts up there was, I'm either going to jail or hell or jail for this film. Because one of the first scenes they shot literally involves Nicolas Cage's character shooting the 13-year-old with a bullet so she can feel what it's like to be hit in the stomach. She's wearing a Kevlar vest. And I'm just like, wow, that's brutal, a 13-year-old.
Do you know what's really interesting about that? You say that, though. If you've ever seen the film Gomorra, which is a cinema verite Italian film about the mob and so forth.
It's actually a documentary on my life.
But Gomorra is fascinating because there's actually a scene in it where they line up all the young boys, and we're talking about, you know, anything from 12 to 15 years old. They take them into this abandoned warehouse, and they literally put on a bulletproof vest onto them and shoot them because it's to see if they show fear. You know?
And if they do, then they double tap them in the back of the head.
That's basically it.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, anyone that did show fear, I mean, like, you know, I don't actually hold that against them because it's like a 70% chance that it'll stop that bullet. That's 30% chance you're going to get a fatal bullet wound.
Sack up, man. You got Kevlar. What are you worried about? Oh, be a man, for God's sake. That's what your rite of passage is. Forget a bar mitzvah or, you know, any of this sort of
you
stuff.
You can take a bullet to the chest.
Take a bullet through Kevlar, you are fine. And if, you know what? If it pierces your heart, you should get like an extra present, something like that. You know,
you're in the
emergency ward, and somebody like, you're a man now. Here, have cake.
No, fuck that, man. It'll be an artificial heart to replace the one you just fucking lost.
There it is. There's your present. Then you can be like
anyway.
You can be like Christian Bale at the end of Terminator Salvation.
We're going to give Dave his props here at this point, Josh.
Yes, I have to say, and you will very, very rarely hear me say this, but I'm going to say it live on air. Dave, you called it, man.
You called it. You were absolutely right. You called it last week. Joss Whedon's Dollhouse has been cancelled.
Yes.
So
fuck Fox. Fuck you up your ass. Fuck everybody who was involved with this who had a chance and didn't save it. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest. I am so pissed off.
All right, now the question is this. Joss Whedon and company have been told in advance that they've been cancelled now. They have two episodes still to shoot. They are getting to the end of their season. And so Joss has promised that he's going to wrap it up. Hmm. Unlike Firefly, which didn't get a chance to wrap up, he has promised that he's going to wrap this up. The question is, can he wrap up Dollhouse in two episodes?
No.
I don't think he can either.
I think he can wrap it up. It just won't be very good.
As my lovely wife Katie said, boy, that's going to be brisk.
No, sorry.
Actually, there's no words in the entire thing. It's just frame by frame. It's running one frame per second, and it just shows the whole thing frame by frame. It's just like boom, 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 boom.
I think it just has Fox Interactive. And it just has Joss going like that for the entire two episodes.
Dude, I just love the idea that they get to the last episode, you get halfway through the episode, and it just goes, boom, and it's just Fox logo over the top.
I have to correct you guys. I read something a couple of months ago about they didn't know whether or not Dollhouse would get picked up for a full season or a half season, which, of course, it ended up getting picked for a half season. And so Joss kind of... He's been down this road so many times before.
Writing's on the wall.
Writing's on the wall. He saw that, and he's actually... I've been following his blog fairly actively, and he'd written down that he had already written a semi-closure to the story before they'd cancelled him. So it was kind of like he knew what was fucking coming because this has happened to him, three, four times now? So there will be a resolution. I'm assuming he will still leave it semi-open-ended. I mean, look... Part of me is ridiculously angry, as you've heard, and pissed off. And look, I'm a self-confessed Whedon file. I love the guy's stuff.
Me too, absolutely.
So many people bitch and complain about Dollhouse. For me, if you're a fan of well-written television, Joss understands people and characters. You can see he's a huge fan of Battlestar Galactica because that, besides the fact that half the fucking cast have been in Dollhouse anyway, you can see that the darker tones and the and the
also, let's face it, I mean, we were getting a little bit of movement in the chat room basically saying, oh, it wasn't like a Whedon project, and most of it's coming from Mirren, I must say. But
Mirren, shut up.
I will say that... we continued to watch it. Mirren gave up on it, but we continued to watch it. My wife and I watched it, and it did get better.
That's great.
And it actually got to be a very interesting series, and Epitaph 1, the unaired episode, is brilliant.
One of the best standalone episodes of any sci-fi TV I've ever seen.
And season 2 so far has been very interesting. It's very intriguing the way they're going with it, and I think if they gave the series a chance, we all forget that the first season of Buffy actually wasn't that good either, and it took off halfway through season 2.
Look, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. They're going to axe it. It's going to go through the fucking roof on DVD, and then Fox are going to go, yeah, maybe we jumped the gun a little bit on this for the third fucking time. I mean, for me, the thing that makes me happy is that, okay, we know that he did Dr. Horrible, and he did that as an internet-only thing, which he then delivered a DVD, and he's just sold. Stop looking at the chat room.
No, she just said, I'm agreeing with you, Dave, you ignorant censored.
Yes, I know. But you know what? Yours come up censored. So, you know, grumpy bitch, shut the fuck up. Anyway, moving on.
How did she get bitch as a name? That's what I'm unsure of.
Because they recognize that she
because
is
it's
one.
All one word. It doesn't show up as bitch.
Wow.
But anyway, moving back on top.
Back onto you.
Can we do this? This is my show.
I don't say anything, man. I've been sitting here quietly.
On our next subject today.
No, look, you can see, look, he made a fortune. Well, not a fortune, but he made a lot of money on Dr. Horrible.
I'd say that's small fortune,
yes. And we know that they're already working on number two. And he's already, I read his blog like the day that they announced it's been cancelled, and he's like, I will be working on an undisclosed project which I will talk about by the time Dollhouse finishes, and binge drinking. So I was like, and you've got a feel for the guy. He's one of the most talented writers in the industry, and he keeps getting fucked. And what I hope this brings out from him is that what he does is he'll sit there and go, screw, like, I don't think he'll go back to TV. And I'm hoping that he just produces, he does Horrible 2, it makes a shit ton of money, and he's like, you know what, fuck this, I'm doing my own project, internet only, and then releases a DVD and runs it that way, where he has complete control.
I don't understand, at first I didn't understand, I should say, why he actually went back to Fox, because after Firefly, he said he wasn't going back to Fox.
Apparently, a briefcase with money.
No, actually, apparently, it would explain why the beginning of Dollhouse didn't feel very Joss Whedon, is the fact that it wasn't his project. Apparently, it was Eliza Dushku's project. She had a contract with Fox. She produces Dollhouse, and she actually invited Whedon to come on board to write it, but it's her concept, it's her story. So it's a Dushku-generated project. Whedon managed to make it his own by about episode 6 or 7 of season one. But it took seven episodes.
By grabbing half of the cast of every other show.
Pretty much. Yeah. And basically turning it, putting it, giving it a through line.
Yeah.
The problem with Dollhouse, in the first 5 episodes, there was no through line. It was like...
They were all just standalone episodes.
Yeah, it was episode of the week, and, you know, it's like...
I liked that, though. I miss shows like that. Whatever happened to episode of the week?
The only, the only show we horrible get, fucking death.
The only shows we get like that anymore Welcome are to fucking Fantasy CSI. Island. All we get is CSI anymore.
Or whatever. It's just like...
That's the only thing we get episodically anymore.
Yeah, well, you know,
if you
want to
watch somebody get molested or raped and have it wrapped up in an hour, then you go and watch that. If you want to watch, you know, characters... have their minds wiped and then go and get molested and raped and watch Dollhouse.
All right. Nice. Look, I'm going to blow your mind just one more. I'm going to blow your mind one more time, Dave. That's enough on Joss Whedon. How about
this? Sorry for the rant, everyone. I'm extremely passionate about Joss Whedon. I love his stuff. So
I'm going to bring up this picture on the screen here and say Battleship the movie has some news.
Oh, no. This is awesome.
We don't know much.
You sunk my battleship.
We don't know much. We don't know much except that it is now dropped that it will have aliens in it.
I'm hoping that the aliens fly in a lattice ship made of Connect Fours, and they drop the little discs as bombs.
I'm sorry, but call me incredibly cynical. All I can think is Hasbro has approached Peter Berg while he was working on his film and said, "You know what? We want to release a special alien edition of the Battleship game. Can you introduce some aliens into the movie?" I'm sorry, this thing just reeks of bad news.
Nah, fuck that. I'm going the complete opposite. I reckon this is going to be great. I'm going to take Dave's approach. This is going to be the greatest film of all time.
Beat me to it. I was actually going to say that about Clash of the Titans, but...
And for those that missed the Colbert Report about 4 weeks ago when we first talked about this, when to me personally, was the one of the best jokes of probably the last 6 months when he said that Keanu Reeves should play the pig.
He will do a fantastic
and
job.
He will do a wonderful job. Well, all right. I think at this point we should move into a film review, don't you?
I think we should, otherwise.
Is that what we were doing today? Right. I think
we should actually move into
movies
a film review.
Movies and stuff and junk. Wow.
Now, I'm going to say that originally, when we first started to set this show up, I wasn't going to be able to see 9. So you two are going to do 9, but luckily I happened to catch 9 at the last minute, and so now we finally can all talk about this together.
I was hoping we'd be able to speak.
And after 9, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my experiences with A Christmas Carol. But at first, let's have a look at 9.
Thank you. What's this?
I found him in the emptiness.
You lead the beast straight back to us.
Where did it come from? Why is it hunting us?
They've been lost in the past, looking for answers.
Science has turned against us. Join me in repelling the iron fist of the machine.
We awaken something.
Something terrible.
Sometimes fear is the appropriate response.
Protect the future.
Okay, so that was Nine, directed by, was it Shane Acker or Ackerman?
Yes, yeah.
Ackerman.
Acker.
Acker. And produced by Timur Bekmambetov. I'm sure I'm massacring that pronunciation. And Tim Burton as producers. Now, this is based on a short film by the same director, which is actually available on YouTube, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. I have not seen the short film yet, but
I have.
Josh has. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw it to you guys, because you guys were originally doing this, and I'll just throw in my two bits.
Dave's probably got the nicer review. We'll start
with Dave. Yeah, well, I'll meet the film halfway, four and a half. Look, this was something I was mega excited about. It's no surprise to anyone. I really do like animated films with a little bit of a gritty edge to it, and this does certainly have a very unique look about it.
Also, to be honest, awesome trailer as well.
Yeah, look, the trailer is fantastic. Seller. I mean, it really is a big sell. Unfortunately, it's not really what the film's about in general. What you're pretty much seeing is the majority of the action throughout the whole thing. But I think Nine is best watched with the sound off. When it comes out on DVD, like visually, it's arresting. It's amazing. It really is.
I'll agree with
beautiful
that, yes.
What they've done and what they've managed to achieve. But the story, look, I'm not going to go through until we hit spoilers. But I mean, the story is just absolute shit. The voice acting is. It was funny because like I came out, I wouldn't say psyched, but I was like, it's pretty good. And then the more Josh and I talked about it, we started ripping it apart. And I was just sitting there. And look, it's not a shit film. If you're a kid and whatever else, then great. But I mean, for the voice acting in general is phoned in. There are just massive plot holes and dialogue holes. Mm. It's on par with Astro Boy as far as voice acting goes, in my opinion.
I'm sorry, but I
was reading production notes. Like, I think Five was done by John C. Reilly, and I was reading about Shane Acker was sitting there like, it was the one character that everybody instantly said, that's who it has to be. And I was like, you know what, he was shit.
I didn't recognize him.
The only two that I recognize straight off the bat is I recognize Christopher Plummer, obviously, because he has such a unique voice.
And Imaginarium.
Elijah Wood, I recognize Elijah Wood. I didn't pick that up as Jennifer Connelly.
No.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't pick it up as John C. Reilly.
Her character didn't have massive tits, so I mean, that's probably
come on.
Muzzle! I'm sorry. This is not the first time I've been on this program, and you're acting surprised.
We had Natalie Del Conte on this episode.
She's not in the room. Do you want me to walk out and leave for the rest of the broadcast? I'll fucking go.
I agree with Dave completely. The visually amazing show. It really was. Like, when things are happening, it's amazing. And the first probably 10 minutes I actually had a lot of hope for, because it starts out very quiet. There's barely any sound at all. It's showing this broken world. It's very well sort of adapted. It shows all these things that you're wondering about but have no idea. When he's walking around in the world for the first time, you get that real sense of sparseness, and that obviously everything is kind of over and things have gone wrong for us. Like, there was a lot of that, and that was really good. I really like the World War II style, kind of that sort of old war kind of feel.
I don't think there's any argument that the production design was fabulous.
But the reason that I think that is, man, is because you've got a guy that has a lot of talent for visual direction.
I think you're giving him too much credit. Sorry, we've discussed this at length, I think you're putting a lot too much onus on the actual guy who created it.
Mm. You know, but that's the whole thing, because the guy is behind the visual stuff. Like, that's where I reckon most of his direction has gone.
Mm.
It's gone a lot less into the dialogue, a lot less into the story. He's pushed a lot to make it look good, because that's what he knows.
Well, he didn't have dialogue in the original.
Exactly.
It was a silent movie. Exactly. So, you know, maybe he should have taken something away from it.
Well, no, he kind of tries that at the start. I think it really falls flat because there's no feeling of emotion, because the characters don't... Like, sack people as a concept. Like, even the characters in Little Big Planet have more emotion and more emotives with three buttons than those characters did in the entire movie.
Yeah.
None of the characters you feel any empathy for at all. The acting, like you were saying, the voice dialogue is just shocking. Like, the whole time I'm sitting there, I have no feeling for any of these people. The humor falls so dead in that movie. There is not a single line that made me even titter or laugh or anything.
There's
like
no
that.
Emotional resonance. You don't feel any empathy for these guys. I mean, the whole thing I liked about it is it's kind of like a World War III scenario, or let's say World War II meets Skynet.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that. It's like in the 1950s, the world ended and machines just wiped everything out.
Mm.
And it really does come across, and you've got, you know, these awesome Nazi-esque symbols that they have everywhere, which is great. You know, I was hoping to see a little Jew 9 running around with maybe a yellow star getting persecuted by a machine with a little mustache. But maybe I'm reaching, but
I think you're reaching just a bit far there.
But you know, it is very easy to get caught up in the visuals of this.
Sorry, just to interrupt you for a minute, because apparently Grumpy Bitch is leaving our chat room. But she says, how do we differentiate this or separate this from the musical 9, which is also coming out this year? Well, it's easy, because one is spelt N-I-N-E and the other one's the number 9.
Yeah.
And one will be people watching an animated film, and nobody will watch anything else.
Nobody will watch
a musical. A musical with Daniel Day-Lewis. Wow.
All right. So,
yes.
Let me just chime in real quick because I'm not going to add much more than what you guys have already said. I actually watched the film. Talk about a double hitter. I watched a double feature of Christmas Carol in 3D and then 9. Mm. So I was kind of CG'd out by the end of it. But I actually, the end credits rolled on 9 and I just went, what an odd little film. it's a very odd little film.
That's the only problem. That's the reason that I can't like it or give it any credit at all, is it's not an odd little film. It's an odd, massive film.
Yeah.
It had a lot of money behind it, and it's bad. If that was like an internet-produced video that someone had put on DVD and I watched then, I might have given that a bit more credit. But
let's throw ourselves into spoilers really quickly, because really we need to talk spoilers to find out why it didn't work.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, as they say in Movie Fan House with Brad and Charlie, let's throw down the hammer. All right. And basically say,
a big shout out to Movie Fan House. Brad, I'll be looking forward to playing Borderlands with you over the next few days.
And that's moviefanhouse.com. Also, while we're on shout outs, we should mention our good friends over at Real Junkies.
Do we still have the
No, that's on the platform's desk. But we'll put a shout out to Real Junkies, which is a movie podcast, which you'll find at weekendronin.com, or you can search for it on iTunes. Compile you guys.
Oh, God.
All right. I'm going to throw us into spoilers here and basically say one of the biggest problems I had with this film was I picked the story from the first frame.
Yeah.
I stopped the film because I actually have an import. And I said to my wife, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got...
I've got it, yes.
You've got 9.
Yes, I do. And and then when we finished watching it, I looked at her and said, how good am I? Basically, I felt it was paint by number
stories.
It's
so generic. It is so generic.
It just completely and utterly, everything about the script was projected, and it was just like the eyes of the little archiving creatures.
Oh, yeah. the twins.
The three and four, yeah. You know, you sit there and go, I can tell what's going to happen in this film right from the beginning. And that kind of spoils it a little bit, because you sit there and go, there's nothing... It's not going to surprise me.
What got me was the balance was all wrong. Like, the first scene that you have Jennifer Connelly's character come up, they're like, you know, all the guys, they're about to get smashed by this, you know, amazing little entity. Like, the character designs are brilliant. Mm. It's like this mesh of hemp and skulls and metal, and it's just very rough and it's kind of like watching a dinosaur
bones kind of
come to life.
It's kind of
They call it Stitch Punk, I think. But you have Jennifer Connelly's character come up and like just decapitate one of these things in like 2 seconds, and then they're getting chased by like two or three of them later on, and she's like, "Oh my god, I gotta run! This is terrible." There's no fucking balance to it at all. For me, the thing, they've got this little power source which apparently gives all of these one to nine gives them their life. Which it like drains the soul of the guy who created them, which is all well and good, okay, great. And you've got the main machine that goes up against them at the end, and the machine sucks out their souls with the reverse part of that power source. And I remember talking with Josh, like, there's this whole scene towards the end of the climax of the movie where they're all like, "Don't kill the machine, we'll lose the souls, don't do it." And then what do? They run back, they fuck around for like another hour, and then they go back and they kill the fucking machine.
Yeah, I love the pressing of the button.
Back.
Exactly.
They don't. Like, I was waiting for them to like get restitch in time.
I thought they were going to retrieve. The one thing I didn't catch was I thought they were going to retrieve the bodies and put their souls back.
That's exactly what I was expecting. Exactly. And then when they just dissipate, you're like, how the fuck is that different from blowing him up when he was trapped on the bridge?
I love the fact that they blow him up anyway. He presses the buttons on the thing and this Dragon Ball Z style blast just blows the shit out of him. And I'm just sitting there going, why didn't you just use the cannon? It was right there.
But not only that, this is where you run into this problem with this film, is that he pulls the device off, he pushes the three sequences, which fires this Cannonball Z blast, as you're saying. Which destroys.
Whatever. I like it.
Whatever, I don't care, but it blows the crap out of the thing. And then he goes, oh, now we must release our souls. Pushes the same three number combination, and it opens
up.
It's like, no. And it's like, wait a minute. Didn't the thing just,
maybe
like,
he pressed
blast?
It in reverse. Maybe it was a different button.
What I love is that you've got the three buttons, which is what you've got, like, there's no different combinations. How can I crack
that
this?
One, that
it's
one, and that
doing,
one.
Doing, doing, doing. Hey, here we go. Hey, I saved the world. That's great.
Yeah, there's a third option which actually just makes it explode.
And I'm going to steal something that you said, which cracked me up, which was when we were watching it, right? When you first start off and you meet Nine and everything else, there's only one tiny little machine thing that's running around scavenging and looking for all of these little salt, you know, the little number people.
Yeah.
And once Nine gets involved, suddenly the creator machine comes to life, all the guys die. Like, it's just like, dude, you're meant to be our savior. You're fucking shit up. We're sitting here relaxing. We're having a few beers. We're not, you know, worrying. And then all of a sudden, the whole world's ending.
Exactly. My biggest problem with the film, and this leads on from what Dave was saying that I said before, was the fact that at the end of the film, you sit there and go, if Nine hadn't come along, there'd be twice as many of them, and they would just have, like, five things to kill. Because of Nine, the whole world erupts and nine of them die. And then they're all kind of like, ha ha.
And I also have an issue with the very last line of the film where he sits there and goes, and now, of course, it's our world and we'll make of it what we want.
How?
You can't reproduce. What are you going to do?
They're going to make more Stitch people. They're going to somehow double...
But you need the humans to split their souls.
Duh. No, look, anyway. Okay, another two things. These are my geek points for this film that bothered me. Point number one. Why, after running a large section and running away from these monsters, do they breathe heavy? They have no anatomical parts. They don't need to breathe hard. That is... Oh, my God, that was so stupid. I was sitting there the whole time going, why are you breathing
maybe,
like you're...
Maybe something in the soul. It's like, an auto-response memory or something.
No, right? I'm not cool with that. And number two is, why, when they release the souls, does it start raining? When do souls produce rain? What was that about?
What is with the little green bits of soul in each raindrop? What are we talking, like little microbes? Maybe life is coming back?
I think it was acid.
Oh my God, that's how it's going to work. They're going to come out of the ground.
They're going to grow.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be like pumpkins. There'll be hundreds of them.
I actually say to you, don't go to the cinema and see this film. I would say to you that it is a rental, or a watch instantly, as the case might be. Good sneeze, as the case might be. I would actually say that I thought that it was okay. It's a diversion. It was just kind of, you watch it and go, yeah, That's it. It's over.
Though.
I liked it better than I liked Astro Boy. Put it that way.
Bitch. I was just about to say that. I was going to say, if I had a choice between 9 and Astro Boy, I would happily watch 9 in hell till the end of days over Astro Boy.
Wow. I have the complete opposite argument to that. I mean,
that's
like,
you're an idiot.
There you go. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I thought it was a better film than Astro Boy. I was very disappointed in Astro Boy. However, I will say on our second film review is that I actually like The Christmas Carol more than I like 9. And let's have a look at the trailer for this real quick.
Christmas comes but once a year, but for one man.
Ah! Humbug.
That's once too often. But this holiday season,
is someone there?
He'll be given a second chance. Get his life right.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls 1.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over with?
Walt Disney Pictures. An Image Movers Digital present. Jim Carrey. In a new vision of the classic tale. Like you've never seen it before.
What's happening?
In Disney Digital 3D and IMAX 3D. Disney's A Christmas Carol.
Okay, so this is Robert Zemeckis' update or new version of the classic Charles Dickens Christmas Carol. It's been done a billion times before, and we're not going to go into a spoiler zone here because really, if you don't know the story of A Christmas Carol, then, you know, shame on you.
the Jews paid the Romans to kill Christ. Wasn't that... I think that's pretty much the gist of it.
Now, what I'm going to concentrate on here is... No. First thing I'm going to say is that it's not an awful movie. It's not a particularly great film. It has the same problem that Beowulf and Polar Express have, which is for lack of a better word, it has no soul. Mm. And it's a problem that Robert Zemeckis is bringing to this, and I'm blaming him. It's not the animation. It's not motion capture, because we have seen motion capture work, and we have seen animation work. Up will bring a tear to your eye. That's CG animation. Gollum is believable. That's motion capture. We have seen it work. The stuff in Avatar is all motion capture, and I'm sure that this is going to work as well. For some reason, Zemeckis is so obsessed with the technicals of this process, he seems to have forgotten one key ingredient, which is he doesn't seem to care about the audience anymore. He seems to be much more obsessed about making the movie than actually showing the movie. Now, with that being said, A Christmas Carol is a fun romp. Jim Carrey is excellent. Truly excellent in the role. And the character of Scrooge is the most well-rounded, most realistic character in the entire film. They spent all their time getting that character right. He doesn't have the dead eyes. He doesn't have... What are you tapping on over there?
Sorry.
he doesn't have the dead eyes. He has life there. He looks realistic. There's a lot going for him. Problem is that none of the support characters around him have that same level of detail. Jim Carrey actually supplies, in fact, most of the cast actually supply the voice for multiple characters. Jim Carrey, I think, does about 5 or 6, including all the ghosts, plus Scrooge himself. It was entertaining. The 3D is spectacular. It looks great. The CG work is really nice, but it's just, it's lacking a soul. It really, put it this way, A Christmas Carol is one of those films that, if done right, by the time you reach the epiphany at the end, and spoilers for a novel that is so old and everybody should know the story for.
There's no spoilers, man. If you don't know the story.
If you don't know the story, get over it. It's a very faithful adaptation of that story. The epiphany, by the time he reaches that epiphany with the swell of the Christmas carols and everything else, there shouldn't be a dry eye in the house.
Mm. I mean, I remember even when they did the old Hans Christian Andersen one, you know, like the little wooden stop motion figures when I was a kid and stuff like that. They do Christmas Carol and it'd floor you.
Absolutely.
Like every single time you'd just be like, wow.
This film doesn't. This film, there's no real emotional connection to it. You are more dazzled by the visuals than you are connected to the characters. Mm. So I would say that it is, you could do worse than go see it, but it really isn't worth the money.
You could do worse. Astro Boy is out.
Well, that's true. What is worth the price of admission? And I will say this right now. Now, just for our audio podcast listeners, and it's not going to be on the live show in repeats, but for our audio podcast listeners, at the end of the show, Little Geek will be coming on to tell you his impression of A Christmas Carol, because, of course, he came with me to see it as well. Mm-hmm. So he will be joining us later on. I'm recording him later and separately from the show. He's actually out with his mother right now. But for the audio podcast listeners, after the music has played, stay with it. There will be a Little Geek at the end. Now, I will say that I saw in 3D the trailer for Avatar before I saw A Christmas Carol, and that was worth the price of the admission ticket. It was a phenomenal experience, and even my lovely wife Katie said at the end, boy, if the trailer for Avatar can be that good, that really shows up what A Christmas Carol is sorely lacking, and that's the bigger issue. And yeah, she actually made the very interesting observation, which she said, it's not the big vista shots, it's not the big battle scenes that were so interesting in 3D for Avatar. It was the little intimate close-up moments that is the most impressive
it's
stuff.
Like the one I think you see where they've got their version of like the daffodils or whatever else, and they, you know, he like kicks something and you just get this cloud of pollen comes out. And it's 3D, you know, it's 3D and everything else. But the thing about the 3D, it's not the whole Three Stooges, that 3D. It's just you're sitting there watching it and you're sitting there going, I know that's the screen, I know this is the negative space between us. Mm. But I can see three of these daffodils floating around right in front of me.
But it's also
it's beautifully done.
There's one shot in the trailer in particular, and I will say the Australian cut of the trailer is actually slightly different to the American cut that's online. There's a few more shots in it that aren't in the American version, but there is actually one shot that's in both, which actually shows Sam Worthington in his wheelchair, and he's going down a hallway, and Sigourney Weaver is walking just like a step in front of him, and she's got a display.
Yep.
Like a pad, which she's holding down in front of him, which is describing what the program is, obviously. And behind him is another guy walking behind them, and they're walking down the hallway. And that shot has so much depth to it because it's got all these layers, and you're getting all this depth. And it's such a simple thing, and yet you go, that's the 3D that is so impressive.
There's so much of that. I mean, I've said it 1,000 times. I'll probably say it 1,000 more before it comes out. I've seen about 15, 20 minutes of the film in 3D at IMAX, and they're just... It's the same sort of scenes. Like you had a couple. Everyone's seen in the trailer where Sam Worthington, as the blue avatar, is getting chased by, like, I guess you could say, a large dog or coyote version beast. It's, you know, this massive beast that's smashing through trees and everything. And you know, you just see him crawling through the brush and everything to get away. And there'll be like a blurred bush at the beginning, and then you'll see him, and you get a real sense of depth. Looking at it, and your eyes are telling you this is not real, but your brain is like, fuck that, this is awesome.
And this is the problem, and we bring it back to the review, this is the problem with A Christmas Carol, is the fact that, yes, there's wonderful 3D moments. Once again, the most impressive 3D moments were the quiet parts. The problem with A Christmas Carol is it doesn't allow itself to be quiet long enough. And so what Zemeckis does is it's almost like he says, I can, therefore I should, do all this wild, amazing camera work that is physically impossible with a real camera because I can. Mm. And so on many, many occasions in the film, the camera suddenly sweeps out a window, goes across the city, through the streets of London, and down into another window, and you sit there and go, I really didn't need you to do that. I just needed you to cut to the next scene. You know, we've already had the big sweeping shot at the beginning. You don't need to keep doing it again and again and again. And even in the trailer, you can see he keeps blasting off into the air for no apparent reason. You know, for whatever opportunity they can to take him flying off into the air, they do because they can make the camera do that.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a Zemeckis issue. He did the same thing with Beowulf as well. Lots of sweeping, flying camera moves just
like
because
Beowulf,
he could. I did too, and I didn't mind Beowulf, but it has flaws.
Mm.
And the same flaws in Beowulf are the same flaws here, which is it's soulless. It's missing. It's missing a core that just seems to be vacant, and I don't know what it is. And it's like I'm not even sure entirely what it is that's missing. There just seems to be some sort of heart missing out of it.
I think for me, like I like Beowulf, and I obviously I haven't seen A Christmas Carol, but I get where you're coming from with it. And I think it's kind of the same thing that happened to the first Final Fantasy film, where it's visually, it's spectacular, but the eyes still seem dead to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. That,
you know, whereas some films, they convey that and you get a sense of, like Avatar, I'm not trying to keep going back to it, but as far as the
That is going to be the benchmark. So.
You look at them emote and you're looking at it going, this is not a real character, but I'm moved by what's fucking going on. And it looks like Worthington, or it looks like Zoe Saldana, or Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
You know, whereas there's a lot of the new so-called photorealistic CG that they do, where it is completely the dead eyes and you don't feel any connection to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make it a much less intense personal experience.
I agree. And I think, look, the Zemeckis' Image Movers, their three films, Polar Express, Beowulf, and now Christmas Carol, each one is progressively getting better, technically, from the last one. I can see his grand experiment that he's trying here. The problem is, how long are people going to keep investing money into his experiment or his experimental phase? Remember, Christmas Carol cost close to $200 million to make. It took $30 million at the box office, all right?
Ouch.
This film has died. When we went to see it last night, this is the second weekend of this film. We're approaching the Christmas season. There was about five people in the cinema.
Damn.
All right, so this film is bombing. Big time.
Next week, $8,000 for each session.
And we've already heard word that Zemeckis is now working on Roger Rabbit 2. And
yeah, which sounds like the worst idea in the history.
Yeah, because have you heard the latest little bit from that? Which was,
I haven't heard anything.
Zemeckis went, actually, we're going to motion capture all the cartoons except for Roger. So they're going to hand animate Roger, but they're going to motion capture the other cartoons. No. Leave it alone. This is not what it's about. It is about old-style Warner Brothers cartoons.
I mean,
you know?
They should motion capture Bob Hoskins. And
they may have to. He's too old to play the role.
Moving past that, though, man, I mean, this is exactly what he's done with Christmas Carol. Like, he is putting a lot of effort into one character and everything else will be soulless. End up with exactly the same situation.
Absolutely,
you got
and
left.
He did the same thing with Beowulf. The only character in Beowulf that had life was Beowulf. All the other characters had this kind of weird glazed look on their faces where they were kind of staring. I mean, Anthony Hopkins' character, and in particular John Malkovich's character in Beowulf, were creepy.
Oh. But how amazing did they look? I mean, they looked exactly like...
Well, but then the same thing in Christmas Carol. Gary Oldman looks like the Gary Oldman, but short and fat. It's kind of weird. And Colin Firth looks like Colin Firth. And, you know, and so you have that same thing that they try... And actually, it's something that I'm thinking that maybe he shouldn't be doing. I'm actually wondering if, because we want them to be characters of their own, maybe he shouldn't make them look like actors that are voicing them. It doesn't... Maybe that's one of the creepy things that doesn't quite work.
It could be, man. I mean, because, you know, you're used to looking at them in one certain aspect.
That's
and
right.
You see them. It was like, I can't remember the guy who played the lead of Beowulf.
Sir Winston. What's his first name?
Somebody on IMDb. I don't know. But I
Winston's his last name. He was in Indiana Jones as well.
And wasn't he in Bruges?
In Bruges. With,
so I remember watching the trailer with a friend.
No,
of
he
mine.
Wasn't in Bruges. Sorry, that's not Sam. That's not him.
It's not?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Positive.
Okay. Well, I thought
Ray,
it was the same.
Ray
Winston.
Winston.
It's Ray the
Winston.
It is. It's
Ray Winston Bruges. Wasn't in Bruges.
Hold on. We have to IMDb.
Which character are you thinking of? Not his friend.
Yeah,
that's, no, he played Mad-Eye Moody in Harry Potter. That's and he went on to be in win a Emmy for his portrayal of Winston Churchill.
What's we'll be
his
right
name?
Back.
What's his name again? I forget what his name is.
I have no idea what you're saying right now, Dave. anyway, well, I think it's Ray Winston, but if memory serves, Ray Winston is not the most slender fellow.
No,
in
he's
the
not.
World.
He's a big chunky.
And one of my, I don't think that's
no.
Sorry about this, people. We're just. Oh no, it is him in Beowulf.
Yeah, it's him in Beowulf. It's not him in Bruges.
But I remember a mate of mine watching the trailer for Beowulf, and for some reason the guy, he may have been drunk or whatever, but he didn't register that it was full CG, and he was like, "Wow, that Ray Winston! Woo, he's gotten into shape. Look at that!" And I was like,
the actor that you're thinking of is Brendan Gleeson.
Brendan Gleeson.
Is it Brendan Gleeson?
He's the guy who's in...
In Bruges.
And in...
Harry Potter.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Sorry. My mistake. Apologies, everyone.
I love him so much.
A quick IMDb check there. We got it all sorted out. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I had to sort this out for my own peace of mind.
All right. So I think bottom line is, look, Christmas Carol is not as bad as you've heard. Bottom line is... It's not Astro Boy bad, but it is really... It's a little disappointing. Look, I do like Jim Carrey, and I used to like Robert Zemeckis quite a lot, and I really would like Zemeckis to return to live action and do something different for a while, and I think we need to give this a rest, you know, and you know, get a little bit more, get a little bit fresher. He's starting to feel a bit stale. He's starting to feel like he's doing the same trick over and over and over again. It's not working for him. But I think
he's going to keep doing it Groundhog Day until he gets it right.
I think so. That's how it feels.
It does.
So the bottom line is we have two CG films this week, and neither of them were particularly good. So what can we do? What we are going to talk about next week, though, we had it in our chat room. Donna Mike said, didn't 2012 come out this week? Yes, it did. But we had already kind of scheduled in these two films. So 2012 will be on the cards for next week. Dave's already seen it, and I'm going to see it.
I'm not saying anything.
Don't say anything. Save it for the show. And I'm going to see it this weekend, and so is Josh, I believe.
Yeah.
And we will review that next week because I am looking forward to it. I like Roland Emmerich popcorn junk. So I'm going to look forward to it. All right, we're gonna wrap this up here for the day because we've been rattling on for a while. Unless you guys are... Sorry?
Longer than usual.
Actually, not really.
No, it's
this is the morning. We want to thank, I want to thank both of you for coming on the show one more time.
Pleasure.
I want to thank Natalie Del Conte for coming on our show one more time because she was excellent. I want to say that if you have anything that you want to say about this show, good or bad, send your feedback to feedback@geekactually.com. If you have suggestions for films you would like us to review or topics that you would like us to cover, please also send it to feedback@geekactually.com.
We did actually just get a request from, before he left, the Sandgate Pimp asked us if we'd look at the new Woody Allen film that's coming out.
Oh, this is the one that looks like an extended episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah, I saw the trailer for it.
It's interesting. It's interesting because as bad as he actually looks in the role, the lead character, I forget his name.
Larry
David.
David, thank you.
Yeah, Larry David looks like a prick. Like, and I mean, like, you can tell that he's acting like, you know, like that he could never actually be it. But I thought...
Are you actually going to talk into a microphone?
He's meant to be, like, as far as my understanding of Seinfeld went, that Costanza is Larry
based,
David.
Yeah, it's based on Larry
David.
It's like
completely Larry. All those moments of just insanity and, you know, there'd be moments where they'd be doing the show live and then he and Seinfeld would just be like, this is shit. And they just leave set... Go into the room for like 10 minutes, hammer out some dialogue, come back. All right, here we go! You know, in typical George fashion.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's what I'm saying is I would love to see him trying to play that. Like, I mean, the whole time I was looking at him with him trying to be a prick and I was going, aw, isn't that cute? He's trying to be mean. But yeah, I think it could be interesting. I might check that out at some stage. So if I do, maybe I'll report back to Dave.
Dude, if I checked out Astro Boy, believe me, I'm more than happy to check out Woody Allen.
We've seen Astro Boy. We can see anything.
All right, Final Destination 3D.
All right,
yeah, all right. all right, there you go. You've got me back now.
All right,
Astro Boy was shit, man.
I didn't say it was good. I'm just, I don't see the level of hate.
Anyway,
that you
back
do.
To Dave. Hey, I'm back not to me on this. Anymore.
We're going to say, please keep your comments coming in iTunes. It's much appreciated. If you want to help out supporting the show in any way, we have a support us link on the website at geekactually.com. Shout outs go to our friend Charlie and Brad at the Movie Fan House. And shout outs go to all of the real junkies over at realjunkies@weekendronin.com and on iTunes. Both great podcasts that you can catch up with. If you want to find out what the latest on anything that's going on with any of our shows, whether it be platforms on Monday, which you can find at geekactually.com/platforms.
At 8 p.m.
And 8 p.m. on Monday nights live. Or you want to find out more about what's happening with Geek Actually, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Dave McVeigh. That's kind of where we pump out all the latest news. So if anything is happening, that's where to follow. You can follow Dave on Facebook.
You can find me on Facebook. You can friend me. You can find me on Australian Penthouse's website doing a lot of games reviews, video reviews, movie reviews, and porn star reviews. And also you can check out my blog, which I hope to be updating over the next few weeks, which is feeltheawesome@blogspot.com.
I've got to go subscribe. And Josh?
Geek Josh is my Facebook/Geek Josh if anybody wants to friend me on that. And otherwise, I'm pretty sure... just go through the website. We have a forum. We have feedback.
Oh, yes, and the forum. Guys, go to geekactually.com/forum. Our forum has actually started to come back to life again in the last week. So there's been a few people who have been putting some stuff up. Come over to the forum. We also rely on the forum for finding out bits and pieces. That's how I found out about... Left 4 Dead. Let's face it. So, the forum is a really good source. If you've got something you want to say, got something on your mind about film, tech, podcast, anything, basically, come over to the forum, sign up, and have some fun over there. Mm-hmm. Now, Dave, you also forgot to mention that you're actually Dave.Kaziki on Facebook.
Yeah, but considering it, I've been saying this for like 6 weeks and I've only got one friend request.
Always new people. You never know. And we had Natalie Del Conte on the show this week. In the meantime, guys, I want you to go see more movies. You don't see enough movies. And all of life's questions are answered in the movies. And we will see you more next week.
Peace.
Thanks for staying with us. And now what we've got in the studio is we've got the little geek, Nicholas McVeigh. How are you?
Hello.
Now, I'm sorry you're not actually on video this time, but you were out when we were doing the show. So we're just tagging you on at the end here.
I went to get my Captain Hook costume for my play.
You're going
to
play Captain Hook in a Peter Pan play, aren't you?
That's at my school.
That's very cool. Now, you saw A Christmas Carol with me and your mother last night.
Yep.
And we... would be very remiss doing a review of an animated children's film if we didn't get your opinion on it.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of A Christmas Carol?
It was wonderful!
So, you really enjoyed it, yeah?
Yeah.
Was there anything about
it? And I heard you guys talking about that it wasn't that good.
Well, the boys didn't actually see it. I actually reviewed it, and I said that I had some problems with it. But I did say... in the review that I thought it wasn't as bad as some people have said it was, and I actually quite enjoyed it. So I just think it still has some problems. Now, you saw the Polar Express.
Yep.
And
I like the Polar Express.
Yeah, but even you said when we saw the Polar Express, there's something kind of funny about the characters. Yeah, they're a little bit lifeless. Right, so it's not quite.
I thought they really improved with the this movie.
They did a lot, and I think Scrooge himself is fantastic.
Yeah, Jim Carrey did a good job.
Yeah, you like Jim Carrey, don't you?
Yeah, humbug.
Humbug. So, what was your favorite part of the film?
I think I liked the last scenes.
Yep.
With the features.
No, just to remind people that we are still spoiler-zoned.
But this is actually from the story.
And as we said during the actual review, this is a very old book, and it's very faithful to the book. So if you don't know the story of A Christmas Carol, shame on you.
Yeah, shame on you.
Anyway, but we will continue. We will say that there are spoilers throughout. So Anyway, continue.
With the future ghost,
yep.
The future spirit. I like how they did what they did with the future spirit, because in the other versions, mm-hmm. it's actually a guy in a cloak.
Yeah, and this
it's a bit like death, but it's now a shadow.
Yeah, it's just a shadow, the ghost of Christmas to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made him this kind of shadow on the wall, but which would come off the wall every now and again, though, when his hand would come out and stuff like that. He was actually kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to ask you about this. This is something that I didn't approach in the main review because, you know, for adults it's not so much, but did you find the film scary at all?
Only that part with the Christmas present guy, you know, the kids under his cloak.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of creepy, wasn't it? When he had the two kids under his cloak and the whole disintegration thing when the clock was striking. Yeah, that was kind of... What about his friend Marley, when his friend Marley comes to visit with the big stones and chains?
Oh, I only got a bit of jumps, like when the chain come in and also when he gets...
Ah! And the door knocker.
Yeah, that's what I mean when he goes, ah!
Yeah, he goes, ah, yeah. It was interesting because when I was watching the film, from a parent's point of view, I could feel other parents in the cinema. There weren't that many people in the cinema, but the other parents who were there, I could feel them kind of tensing up a little bit, like, this is probably too scary for the kids. But I don't think you actually found it that scary, did you?
Yeah, only that part with the children.
Right, okay, yeah, because that was kind of eerie. Those two kids.
Yeah.
And then they grew and they got kind of nasty, remember?
Yeah.
That was kind of odd. What do you think of the 3D?
The 3D was awesome.
Yeah? Was it as good or better or worse than the other 3D films?
It was kind of like the same.
About the same.
Yeah.
So if you were to put Christmas Carol up against, say, some of the other animated films that have come out recently.
Up is better. Up is better. Is much better.
Okay. What about, what else have we seen in CG lately?
And in 3D.
Well, not even so much the 3D aspect of it. Let's just say we've got the one that we really are looking forward to is Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah.
That's coming out here soon.
Yeah,
we saw another CG. Oh, we saw Astro Boy, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we really kind of ragged on Astro Boy, but you liked it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you enjoyed Astro Boy. And this is what I actually said to the boys when we reviewed Astro Boy, which was, you know, for a 10-year-old boy...
Yeah.
Astro Boy is going to be a lot of fun. You know?
Excuse me, I haven't actually watched these episodes yet.
Yeah, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's all right. So I just wanted to get the perspective of a 10-year-old on A Christmas Carol. Would you recommend it to other people to see?
Yep.
Yeah? You think it's worth the money for the 3D pricing, or should they wait for DVD?
3D
all the way. Now, we also were in the cinema, and you saw the trailer for Avatar, obviously.
Yeah.
What did you think of Avatar on the big screen?
Because
we've seen the trailer a few times on the Apple TV
and
you know, downloaded off the internet.
Yeah.
You saw the Avatar trailer on the big screen.
I want to see the Avatar movie.
In 3D. So you want to go see this movie?
Yeah, I want to see the movie.
Yeah, I do too. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be pretty wild. And I think the 3D...
Also, I like it when we are the bad guys.
Well, that's true. The humans are the bad guys by the looks of the trailer, so that should be very interesting as well. All right, well, Nicholas, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah.
I think it's always wonderful to get your perspective on things because, you know, as jaded adults, we sometimes look at the kids' films and we go, yeah, it wasn't so good. But then, you know, we forget that they're actually made for you. They're not made for us, you know? And
shame on you.
And so we look at A Christmas Carol and we can overanalyze it and we can sit there and say what was wrong and, you know, the CG was lifeless or what have you. But from a 10-year-old's point of view, you loved it.
Yeah.
And you thought it was good fun. So you'd say to all your 10-year-old friends out there, go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go see it, everyone.
All right. Thank you very much, Nicholas. And we will catch up with you on future episodes.
Whoopee!
Bye now.
Bye.